from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, of the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, What do those stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. When all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000, ready for war, passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, Command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, Come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. And now the text. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, When your children ask their fathers in times to come, What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the water of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had passed over, their hearts melted, and there was people of Israel. Let me congregate in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a serious fallacy, writes Dr. Donovan, commenting on the fifth commandment, honoring parents. It is a serious fallacy to think that we must permit our children to make important life choices on their own. You should give them plenty of freedom. Sounds very open-minded, but is really very naive. All children grow up in a particular setting where choices are made that leave them no longer free. For example, says Alan, if parents do not take the family to church, a choice is already being made for the children. If at home, children never hear people talking about God and His service, nobody should claim that these children are being left free to choose regarding faith in God. During childhood years, very significant decisions with lifelong consequences are being made for the children and not by the children. Just so it is. You hear it. That is a serious matter for all of us, right? However, I want to impress that in particular upon you, the parents who presented your children for baptism this afternoon. Oh yes, the gift of children is a wonderful blessing of the Lord. But never forget, with blessing comes awesome responsibility. Our text for this afternoon focuses on that. It talks about the task, the responsibility of parents, of fathers and mothers in the kingdom of God, a task they have to fulfill in response to God's faithfulness to them. So that is what we'll focus on this afternoon as we reflect on the question, signposts, why put them up? In the third chapter of the book of Joshua, we are told that Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua then tells the people that the Lord will do such a great thing for them that they, and no doubt all the peoples round about them, shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you all the peoples of the land. Chapter 5, you remember, begins with those exact same words as a fact. The people of Israel were then at the point of crossing the Jordan River. The Lord had told Joshua to tell the people that the moment the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and you can pass over the Jordan on dry land. Chapter 4 then begins by telling us that the crossing of the Jordan was accomplished. The miraculous crossing had happened. The people had arrived safely in the land of Canaan, the land of rest. And And then we have thought also that when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted on dry ground, then the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all the banks as before. You can't miss it. That is said with a certain amount of emphasis here in order to draw everyone's attention once more to the fact that the miraculous crossing of the Jordan was intimately related to the Ark of the Covenant. Significantly, the Ark is now referred to as the Ark of the Testimony. Because, you see, the Ark had been a witness both of the Lord's presence and of His mighty works. Remember, it was the Lord who had led His people in this miraculous way. It is the Lord who is and will continue to be with His people always. Such was His promise then, such is His promise today. In the Lord and by His strength, they would, and we surely will be, more than conquerors. Voilà. Israel, God's covenant people, was never to forget this moment. That's why the Lord Himself saw to it that this redemptive historical event would stay with them as a present reality throughout their history. You see, in chapter 3, verse 12, we read that 12 men were to be chosen, one from each tribe. Chapter 4 then records what is those 12 men were to do. Each of them had to pick up one stone, a large one, out of the midst of the Jordan, carry it on his shoulder, and place it on the other side, that is, at the place where they lodged, that this may be a sign among you, it says. And that's not all. You see, chapter 4 tells us also that Joshua took another 12 stones and had them put up in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. So there were, in fact, two signposts, two memorials set up that day. The one was set up on the riverbank at Gilgal. The other was set up in the midst of the Jordan River. And see, both have the same meaning. Both announced the same message. This: the Lord our God is faithful to us. When in years to come the people talked about the one signpost, they could immediately point to the other. And they are there to this day, says verse 9. Well, that brings up the question. Signposts, why put them up? And that is indeed an important question. Is evident from the fact that this question is answered two times, once in verses 6 and 7, and once again in the word of our text. The parents are to bear witness to the facts. They have to tell their children, this happened to you. You understand? The answer, that answer, is which the parents are told to give to their children, when their children in years to come would ask, what do these stones mean. It doesn't make any difference, by the way, that the children would ask that question a year from this event, or 10, or 100, or 1,000. The answer, the parents of the parents, is and remains the same. This happened to you. The Lord, your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan for you. You understand? See, we today may say that to our children. Once you understand that, you realize that you must not read over these words too quickly. Because you see, that little sentence tells us that the wonder, the miracle which happened way back then, that wondrous redemptive act of God continues in force for the generation that follows right up to us today. Because see, the Bible knows of only one church. Oh yes, we talk about Old Testament and New Testament church. But never forget it. That is the one church on which the Lord our God has worked throughout the ages. So we confess with Lord Day 21 of the Iron Catechism and with Article 27 of the Doctrine and Confession, neither of which is always so well understood or appreciated today. But remember, Paul says in his letter to the Romans that the New Testament church is grafted onto the old tree, Israel. You see, that is why we today may say also, we have been crucified with Christ because we are comprehended in Him. So it is that the redemptive events of the past continue to speak to us today. I ask, they are valid today. They govern and direct the succeeding generations until the end. As sure as you may say to your children, you died with Christ, and you are alive in Him. So you may also say to them, you crossed the Red Sea. Think of it. In verse 23, Joshua talks about what had happened back at the Red Sea. The parents, he says, the parents have to tell their children that the Lord dried up the Jordan as the Lord, your God, did to the Red Sea, which He dried up for us until we passed over. Hear it. That is what the parents who themselves were born in the wilderness, remember, are told to say. The Lord instructed Joshua to tell the people that they must say to their children, we passed over the Red Sea. But already then, the fact was, many of them had never actually even had ever done such a thing. As a matter of fact, most of them had not even ever seen the Red Sea. What does that mean then? That those parents were just to fantasize some story? Were they to tell their children untruths? Surely not. You understand that. The moment you understand that it is the one people of the Lord who experience all these salvation events. Don't forget, the Bible typically records only those events and those facts which are of meaning for the generations. It records the events which are and which continue to be of meaning for us today. So, when you put those two things together, the Bible knows only one church, and the Bible records facts, events, which are of meaning for all the generations of God's children. If we keep those two things clearly in mind, then you cannot but be assured that the salvation events of the past speak loud and clear to us today. And see, once that is clear, the words of verse 9 fall to place. And Joshua says, and they are there to this day. He says, I remember, about those stones that have been placed on the river's bank at Gilgal, and about the stones that have been placed in the Jordan River the day Israel crossed the Jordan. Wow. That tells us that at the moment Israel erected those signposts, at that moment, Joshua could say, they are there to this day. And had he done so, he would not have been trying to be funny or clever. Because you see, right from day one, the emphasis falls on the prophetic nature of those words. They pointed to the future. You see, the fact itself, namely that Israel erected those signposts, that fact had and has prophetic meaning. You must note that Joshua says that the stones which were to be placed at Gilgal and all those placed in the Jordan were to be a memorial. The word Joshua uses here means that a person consciously recalls, remembers something. And see, this word, as used here by Joshua, has woven into it the idea of love. In other words, these signposts were meant to stir the heart of those who saw them to love and devotion. I ask, the moment they even thought about those stones, their hearts would stir with love for and devotion to the Lord, their covenant-keeping God. You ask why? Because the wonder, the miracle, had, as it were, been sealed in that sign for all time. This is what that sign said and continued to say to this very day. The Lord our God, He it is who led us, His people, in His grace, and by His almighty, powerful arm, He led us into the promised land. It was His work. All the emphasis, you see, falls on that one thought, on what the Lord did for His people then, and surely will continue to do for them always. See, that is why those signposts were to be erected. They bore and continue to bear witness to the wonder of God's miraculous leading of His people. They were witness to the fact that God's act of grace, the grace of deliverance, which would be completed and fulfilled in and by Christ. And see, that is what covenant parents, then as now, must pass on to their children of the covenant. That is, they must lead their children to understand this, yes, to embrace this by faith. education. The child of the covenant must learn to see the hand of the Lord in all things. See, there the awesome responsibility of the parents. The children are going to ask about the meaning of those stones, said Joshua. Oh yes, that tells us that there was also something about those stones, about the way they had been set up, that would lead a child to ask that kind of question. Never forget, the way stones or bricks are put together also today does say something. Just check once how well your children know the difference between a hockey arena and a church or school or factory building. Whether your child ever asks you about that depends an awful lot on how you have nurtured your children. That's the other side, you see. The parents must so nurture their children that they will be motivated to ask such questions. You can be sure, if the parents in Israel never took their children to the Jordan River, they would never know about those memorial stones and would therefore never ask any questions about them. Joshua, however, speaking from the conviction that children would be drawn to the Jordan River, says the children, your children, are going to ask you about those stones. And then you, parents, you must bear witness. You have to tell them how the Lord brought his people, the people of the covenant, us, into the promised land, in order that the following generations may believe and live that faith. Therefore, mothers and fathers, tell your children this is what the Lord, our God, has done. This is how the Lord showed his grace to us, to you. Live out of that grace, children. Never forget it. In that salvation event which took place way back there, therein lies a guarantee of our Lord's gracious dealings with us, with you, today. Because the Lord our God does not change. The word of the Lord stands forever. See, that is why the Lord gave this memorial so many years ago now. To be sure, he performed that wonder only once, but then he saw to it that it stayed with his people throughout the generations. Joshua restores that point for us. As a matter of fact, he says that the Lord did that so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. And yes, he did that so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So it is, you see, that this memorial speaks to us today. Oh yes, it means to speak to us. It is intended to speak to us. After all, the Lord our God does not change. Our covenant God gives us his memorials so that we may fear the Lord our God in all our ways. And yes, and he gives those memorials so that the world may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. That brings us face to face with our task today. You see, it's true. The Lord gives his people memorials. And those memorials point back to salvation events, which are a guarantee of the Lord's abiding faithfulness to us today. But that's not all. Think of it. Israel continued to raise memorials, her Ebenezers. Thereby those people of the covenant, think of Samuel for example, said, till now, that is, to this point, the Lord has helped us. Their new memorials, you see, testify to the fact that Israel believed the Lord, that she believed that the hand of the Lord was and is mighty, and that she believed that she could and that she must go on raising signposts in the fear of the Lord, so that the people of the nations would see it and know that Israel trusted the Lord. Yes, that all the world would hear that the Lord was and is and always will be the help and shield of his people. Now, that task, that responsibility is still ours today. Remember, we draw our strength from the word of our God. It is who says to us today, do you, in faith, see that pile of stones there on the banks of the River Jordan? And do you see that other pile of stones in the middle of the river? Remember, those stones, says the Lord, those stones were and they are a guarantee of my grace to you. Now then, live out of that grace, my children. Raise your signposts. Erect your Ebenezers. Put them up in such a way that the world will know that you fear the Lord and no man. Put them up in education, in government, in labor and industry, in such a way that the peoples of the nations will know that the hand of the Lord is mighty today. All around, you see, there are people who say, God is dead. Can you imagine it? And let it all leave you unaffected. And there are many more who say, if there is a God, then keep him off to the side. Don't bother us with his word. A superintendent of a public school said it in so many words some years ago now. Don't drag the Bible into the school curriculum, he said, while no public official would dare say a word of criticism about the Quran. Well, that's only a small indication of the foolishness of the world. A world that ever more haughtily, ever more blatantly, ever more viciously rebels against the Lord while cowardly cozying up to Islam. What is needed today is clear-cut signposts. Signposts that bear witness unmistakably to the fact that we believe and confess that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that we trust him and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, just as we are admonished to do by the form of baptism, which was read. Oh yes, all the Lord's people, the whole body of believers, has to be involved in picking up the materials needed so that signposts can and will be raised. And it's an undeniable fact, signposts must be raised in many areas of Christian endeavor. Because you see, the people of the Lord, of the world, must know that the hand of the Lord is mighty today, and their hearts must melt because of the faithful work and witness of the people of the Lord in every sphere of life. And remember, we are able to do that, although not in our own strength, surely not. Surely then we would be lost before we ever got started. But we can do that by the strength of the hand of the Lord. It was by that strength alone that Israel long ago raised her signposts, her Ebenezer's. And in and by that strength alone, we today can do it. And we will do it because we fear the Lord. Yes, because we trust Him totally.